And as we are looking at God's Word, in the presence of God, God has recorded it at before, and we have all of the information that He sees fit to give us, with an and to have an understanding of then, here and now, in the light of here and now, in the light of all the difficulties in the world in which we live, our own country, etc., and in the outworking of human history. And humans, when they never get right, can get very wrong and do very bad things. And they are very cruel. And God lets humanity reap its own way. And the cruelty of humans shows up because God lets that happen. Now, hang on to that. And in the light of Israel has had all kinds of opportunity to get straightened out, Judah and Jerusalem. In particular, the two tribes, Benjamin and that, in the south, 10 tribes in the north are no more, Assyrian captivity. And so in the process now, God has given them, they've had over 100 years, 120 years, in order to think about things and get right. But they have not done so. So now, God, in leveling the playing field so that you know how it's going to go, so there's no question of what's over the hill, there's no question what's on the other side, how's it going to go? God has it level. You look down the road, it's going to be just like you see. That's what He's doing. Now, in the light of that, we shared in chapter 18 that God took Jeremiah from the temple, and he went out of the temple southward, down to the banks and the edge where they had clay, and the potters made clay. And we shared together that he had Jeremiah go to a particular potter who was making pottery. He was making it. And in the process, Jeremiah watched, and the potter had a piece of clay, as we shared together. I'll read it so you won't have to think about it too much. Verse 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." So here's a piece of clay being fashioned. He finds it marred in what he was trying to do. And so instead of putting it aside, the clay is still soft. And he takes the clay and redoes it because it's still soft. And he makes the thing another vessel. As it were, as another vessel to be used. And he did so. And Jeremiah observed this, recorded it, and understood it. And in the process, communicating it to the people. Verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." So God is saying, listen, the potter could do what he wants with the clay. After all, he's the creator, and the clay is his creation to do with as he wishes. Now, God said, I can do what I want. Now, I want you to know, he said, understand that. And God says, I want to tell you how I work. Israel is very set on where it's going. And we share together in verse 6 and 7 and 8, etc. I'll read verse 8. Verse 7. "At one instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, or to destroy it." In other words, any given nation at any given time, I will deal with them according to my goodwill and in all of my great plan and purpose for humanity. And I'm going to do that. So you need to know that, Israel. And in the process of Israel, know this. people know this. Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil, same word, hang on to that, same word. If you guys are going all wrong, and I'm going to let wrong happen to you, that I thought to do unto them. In other words, if you repent. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good. I was going to be gracious to them. Wherewith I said I would benefit them. Remember, Nineveh was given another 100 or so years simply because they repented. They never got saved as a nation. They just changed their ways, and God was willing to give them a little space on planet Earth because it's the only time they're going to have to do anything. And he gave it to them. Now, so here, nations, God, what are you saying? God said, I'm in charge, and I want you to know that every nation, I allow them to exist or not exist. And I'm in charge. I'm the one who takes care of them. And I want you to know if they have any sense of honoring me, I will give them grace. And if they don't, I will take it away and judge them. Now that includes you, Israel. Now, Israel, what are you going to do? And we share together verse 10, 11, 12, 13, etc. Now, what are you going to do? Now, Israel, no matter how far you're into anything, you can get out of it and look to God and look for his mercy and grace, and he's there to give it if you'll do it. Are you going to do it, Israel? Well, the answer is no. But God already knows that, but he makes it clear of who he is, what he does, how he does, and everything with just nations, let alone Israel. Now, here's Israel. Israel, as hearing all of this, is involved in the middle of it. Now, how does Israel respond to God's grace to help them? He's trying to help them understand, God, if you just turn around a little bit, God will give you a little more space to Jerusalem, etc. But you remember, as we did it, chapter 18, verse 18. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest. In other words, nothing's going to change. We're going to keep doing what we do. Nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not, N-O-T, give heed to any of his words. We aren't going to listen to him. And to add to that, verse 22, Jeremiah said, listen, they're going to get me. They're out to kill me. And Jeremiah turns around and says, God, they're going to kill me, and you know I'm trying to fulfill the assignment. If they kill me, I can't do it. Verse 22, let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit. In other words, let the Babylonians come when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all the counsel against me, their counsel, to slay me. They want to kill me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thou with them in the time of thine anger. God, you've got to deal with them. The bad guy is bad. And you can't just let it go. You've got to handle it. Thus, chapter 19. God, what are you going to do to help Jeremiah, who's afraid of his life and wondering? God, look at the crazy world we live in. So we're at chapter 19. God, what are you going to tell him to do now? He's down at the potter's house and giving and expounding the truths to the people about the potter, and they don't want to know. They don't want to understand. Therefore, chapter 9, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen vessel. He's in the pot right there. All he got to do is go in and buy a glass bottle. I want you to take a bottle, pay whatever your money, and take it in your hand. I want you to take that bottle in your hand from the potter's house, and out you go. Now, an earthen vessel. And take the ancient of the ancients, they're there, the old elders, the people, they're all there, the whole group watching and listening to all of these things. And the ancient, the elders of the priests, the senior, the leadership, the chief elders, etc., they're all there, a number of them, to represent the people, and they're hearing. So now they're all there, and he goes and takes this bottle. Now what are you going to do, Jeremiah? God says, verse 2, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. So what are you going to do? Now you're going to leave the potter's house. Now remember now, it isn't a big distance from the temple down to the pool of Siloam. That's only a little way. And then you're going to go to potter's over here. So if you went from the temple down, here's the wall, here's the gates, a couple of gates down here on the southern end of it. And there in that valley, coming, looking down from the temple southward, here's this valley, the valley of Ben-Hinnom. That means it used, the Hinnom, Ben, the son of Hinnom, he used to own it. But he doesn't now. But that's how you know the valley. Like we say, Camp Burn. It isn't Camp Burn, but Camp Burn is known. That's what Camp Burn is across the street. It's known as Camp Burn. Now, so here he is going, and he's going there, and he's going down, and that's only if you measured it, and maps and everything, it's only about 2,400 feet, a little less than half a mile. So he goes from the temple. If you went a half a mile, you'd go right in through the gate and into the valley of Hinnom. So it isn't very far, and now that's where he's going. He's going to take the vessel into that valley, and the people are all following him. Now, in the process, and he's going to go by the entry of the east gate, Now, the word east is a marker, but if you took that and looked it up in Hebrew and all that, it's the potsherd gate, the potsherd is where means broken, fragmented pieces of pottery. It's where they took the junk that you couldn't do anything with it, and you took it and you threw it there, and it was sort of a dump where you go, down, among other things, and that's what they did. So he went down there. That's where they throw all the bad pottery that's no good anymore. And what's he going to do with this glass, this clay flax? What's he going to do? Well, he's going to go there, and verse 3, and oh, by the way, and that potsherd, broken pottery, and you need to see that, if I can, a little, hold your finger here, and over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, and picking up, please. God is going to speak to the people in Isaiah's day, 100 years earlier or so. He's going to speak to them, and he's going to label them. I'm interested how he labels them. Chapter 45 of Isaiah, picking up if I can, in verse 9 directly. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. In other words, the piece of clay is going to argue with the Creator. Woe unto him that striveth with his Creator, his Maker. Let the potsherd, that's the word east, the potsherd gate, where the broken fragments are. Let the potsherd, the broken fragments of a piece of clay, the clay is going to argue with the Maker. The clay that's arguing with the Maker is all broken and in pieces. Broken and in pieces, and it's arguing with the Maker. being broken to pieces. He said, you guys have nothing going for you, and you're arguing and making a big issue. Now, woe unto him that strive with his maker, let the potsherds strive with the potsherds, the other fragmented pieces of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, that begettest thou, or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? In other words, you're going to go and make a big deal, and you have nothing going for you to even bring up anything. It's amazing you're even talking. All broken, you have nothing going for you. Now, having said that, back over to Jeremiah chapter 19. And in the process, verse 3, the kings, and say, what are you going to say now to the people that are following you? And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, as they line up. They all line up, and they all basically follow more or less the same trail, not all of them, but seem to. And verse 3, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, all you people living there. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Where is he now? He's in the valley of the Hinnom. He's looking at all these fragmented pieces of rubbish, and he's holding this glass, and they're all listening. Now, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the middle of the verse, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil, there's your word, upon this place. I'm going to allow it to happen. Hang on to that. The which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle. When they hear, they won't believe how awful, how bad. You couldn't really shoot all those people, could you? Could all of those things really be true? And then if you read history, just think of when they went into in Africa now, even go in and wiping out villages when they want to. Men, women, and children, no problem. Well, history is awful. When think of all of those, a ton, and you read those things and say, wow, you're glad you're not living then somewhat. Now, having said that, so the ears are going to tingle. The word tingle means to sound. A sound of all kinds of sound. Using one of the ways, a sound of a bell. A bell, when a bell rings, it goes back and forth. And when it echoes, when it's ringing, sounding, it trembles, causes trembling, a quickening. You're having a quickening, a trembling. You couldn't believe that really this could happen. It really couldn't happen, could it? Yes. Your ears will tingle that it could be that bad. You're talking about humans. And when you go your own way, I'm going to let you reap from humans what you are asking for. And I'm going to let you discover. Think of, we'll do it a little just to see it. Go over with me, please, to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And you would recall, remember Samuel in the temple? Little boy being raised, that's where his home was, the temple. He had a bed. He lived there. Now, chapter 3, as it were, verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Now, what are you going to tell the little boy Samuel? And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. I'm going to do something in the days of Samuel, little boys growing up, and Eli the priest, a long priest with his sons. I'm going to do something you won't believe that I'm going to let happen. I'm going to go, as you know, I'm going to have the ark, well, turn over to chapter 2, go backwards a second. What was the problem? What are you saying this to Samuel for? Because Eli is counseling and watching over Samuel, and Samuel is going to give a message to Eli of what's going to happen to him. And everyone's going to tingle. They're all going to say that God wouldn't let that happen, would he? He did. Chapter 2, 1 Samuel, verse 29. Therefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. And honorest, this is Eli, the priest, high priest, honorest thy sons, you honor your family above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, the house of thy father, should walk before me forever. Eli, I gave you an awesome future. Forever. You threw it away, and I am taking it away. That which you would have had forever, I'm taking it all away. Thus, verse 30, and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honoreth me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So we already know that wonderful, wonderful, eternal, everlasting, earthly truth. You honor me, I'll honor you. That's the rule. That's the rule of everything. Honor me, I'll honor you. That's reasonable and right. And Eli doesn't do that. And Eli honored his sons. And God is going to make an awful thing happen. All of the wonderful priesthood of Eli goes down the tubes. And in the process, you remember, the two sons take the ark and they die. They die. They're trying to, we're going to fight the Philippines. Philippines. We'll fight the Philippines. May have to fight the Philippines, but we don't want to fight them. The Philistines. And we're going to go. We're going to go after them. And they said, well, we'll get the ark, and the ark will protect us. Well, they weren't right with God, so the ark isn't going to protect anything. The heart had to be right, and it wasn't. So therefore, what happens? The ark is taken, and you'll remember, over if you want to turn just to see it very quickly, chapter 4. The ark is taken. Eli falls backwards and dies, breaks his neck. And the result, chapter 4, verse 21, and she named, and this is the daughter of the husband, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. It's impossible that anyone could take the ark. But no, it isn't. When God leaves the ark, it's just a piece of wood, all covered with gold. And there is a tingling. Wow. Now, having said that, and so, over if you would, while you're thinking of that a little bit, over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, if you would. Now remember, Manasseh, there's Josiah, there's Manasseh, and then there's Josiah the king. Now, here's his father, Manasseh. Now, Manasseh was a king for a long time, 40 years or whatever it was. He was a very bad king, a very bad king. And 2 Kings, chapter 21, verse 11. And because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, even them, which were before him, and hath made Judah to sin with his idols, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil, there it is again, you're going to keep seeing it, evil upon Jerusalem and Jerusalem, that whosoever heareth it, both their ears shall tingle. What, in other words, God is telling way back with Manasseh what's going to happen. He's telling him, he forewarned you, he'll say it again and again. Is anyone paying attention? So slide over to Wood, if you would, verse 26. And he was buried, Manasseh, was buried in the sepulcher in the garden of Asa, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. Now Josiah is a young, only 8 years old, chapter 22, verse 1, 8 years old. During his time as king, verse 8, Hilkiah, remember we did all these wonderful things. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found a book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan to read it. We found a copy of the Bible. Didn't you guys be reading? Aren't you guys reading the Bible? No. Are we understanding it? No. Are we even thinking about it? No. And all of a sudden, they went in the temple, and there was laying on the thing, like you could have on your shelves, people do. There's a copy of the Bible. And so they started reading it. And when they started reading it, boy, did they have to do some quick changes when they did. And thus, as they delivered, verse 13, go ye inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. And so they read it. And so here's Huldah, the prophetess, the woman, and verse, she's going to bring a message from God to Josiah. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. So here, Jeremiah, little boy listening, as a little older now, hearing this, and God is going to judge this place because of my father and what he did and how he did it. That's right. Verse 18. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall they say to him, this is Josiah, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Now, verse 19, pay attention a little bit. Because, why are you going to honor a young king, Josiah? Because, verse 19, thine heart was tender, we'll look at that in a minute, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. He wanted to hear, read the book, I want to understand it, I want to obey it, I want to do whatever. And therefore, before the Lord, when thou heardest that I spake against this place, against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hath rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, God, are you going to honor that king? Yes, I am. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, Josiah, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. Thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring that makes the ears tingle. You'll never believe it's going to happen, but it is, but you're not going to know it. You and I are sitting here awaiting an awesome tribulation. But you're not going to know it. You're not going to know it. I'm going to take you up. Revelation 3:10 in that. I'm going to take you up before it comes. Now you're going to know a lot, the harbinger, all the stuff that prepares for it. We're in the middle of it with the electronic world and everything else. All the whole world is moving. Exponentially in that direction. There's no way to stop it from a human standpoint. Now, so therefore, you shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, here's Josiah is spared. wonderfully, wonderfully spared from all the evil that's going to happen. Now, that's an awesome thing. Now, go with me, please, back to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, remember now, Jeremiah as a young, given an assignment to do the job. And in chapter 1, remember, verse 6, Jeremiah 1, 6, then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And God said, no, I'm going to touch you. Verse 9, and the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Wow. You're going to do what? You're going to root up kingdoms. You're going to speak against them, Egypt and all. You're going to line them up. And I'm going to give you that you're going to be the spokesman to tell how it's going to go. Now, so when you slide down, this is his assignment. He's listening. Verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a boiling, seething pot up in the north, a big cauldron, boiling water. And the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Jeremiah, you haven't started your ministry, you haven't done anything. You know that the Babylonians are coming like a great big pot, and that pot's gonna roll over and flood with boiling water as a people. He's gonna destroy Nebuchadnezzar is. A devastate, and your ears are going to tingle of what I'm going to let happen. And it's an awesome thing that did happen now, and will happen again. Now, but not in the same way. So now, chapter 2. And therefore, Jeremiah's ministry is going to be dealing with this. Because God has predicted it, said it's going to happen, it will happen. So I'm going to help you. And Jeremiah is going to take and do that. Now, in chapter 2, verse of Jeremiah, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils, there's your word, bad, evil, affliction, misery, etc. For they have forsaken me, one, the fountain of living waters, and two, they have hewed them out, cisterns, places in the ground, to collect broken cisterns that can hold no water. They're broken. And you're going to try to collect the rainwater and everyone. You can't collect it because it won't stay in it. It leaks. You aren't going to be able to do it. So you've forsaken me, and you're going to try to survive and succeed without me. And you can't do that. No, it isn't going to happen. So as you keep going, and you can keep going on it, chapter 2, verse 19, just to see it. Thine own wickedness, verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. It's an awesome thing, and you've left it, and you're going to be in trouble. Now, and you can keep going, and you're going to pick it up over and over again. So when you come over, skipping if I can, over to chapter 18, remember, so you can get the connection. Chapter 18, picking up if I can, in verse 8. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, they will not find the evil that I will let come to them. So if they will fix their end of it, I will not let happen. The train's headed for the abyss, going to go off the cliff. I'll fix it so the train doesn't go off the cliff, if you want me to. But if you don't want me to, I'm going to let it go off the cliff. I'm going to save you. But if you won't let me, you will die in your sins. If you won't let me. That's an awesome. That'll make your ears to tingle. And the trouble is to get people that have tingling ears have already died. And they can't tell you anything. Now, so here. Here we are looking, and you have it again in chapter verse 10. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good therewith I said I would benefit them. So there's the evil, 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 evil. Over to chapter 19. Chapter 19. And picking up again, chapter 19, and if I may, in verse 3. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place. I'm going to let it happen. The ears are going to tingle. You're not going to believe what I'm going to let do. Now, so how are you illustrating this, Jeremiah? How are you doing it? Jumping ahead just a little bit. What are you going to do? Verse 10. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel, that it cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury them. Now, hang on to that. I'm going to go. And here's Jeremiah with a vessel telling him all this. And then he goes and smashes it. Where do the pieces go? Down in the pile of all the other pieces. Potsherds. Potsherds. That's where you're going to end up. Nothing. And now what are you saying, God? I'm going to make that place. I'm going to make that place and Jerusalem. What do we do down there in the valley of Hinnom? That's where you do what? That's where you sacrifice king after king, sacrifice to the god of Moloch, burn their children. And the hands of Baal and Moloch would go out like this, and you'd heat the hands of a red hot from the fire, and you'd put the sacrifice on the fire, and the hands of their god would hold them, and they cook and scream. I'm going to make that place full of dead bodies that won't even be buried. They're not going to be buried. There's too many of them. They're going to be laying all over the streets. That's the same at the end of the tribulation. The animals, the birds are going to have to come and clean it up because there's nowhere to go with them. Wow. Wow. Now, your ears are going to say, no, it wouldn't happen. It does. And we have cruel things that happen in our day, little things compared to big things, little things. Wow, not like the Twin Towers or something, fortunately. Now, over, if you would please, in the light of that, just to apply it a little bit, we share together that Josiah was tender, and he humbled himself, before God and said, here's your word. We need to honor your word. And Josiah, by the way, without going back there, what did Josiah do? He went to this valley of Hinnom where they were sacrificing children and made it unacceptable to go in there. He made it unclean. He said, no one goes here anymore. No one goes and burns their children anymore. And he did that. But only for a moment, because the next guy come along and said, sure, it's all right to do that. Now, so therefore, a little word. Josiah was tender, and he humbled himself. Now, over, if you would please, looking at the word humble, to suffer, to be tender, to be soft, a verse that you know. Job. Wonderful section, Job is. Anyway. And what do we know? Job, help us. Now, God, we're looking at this. And the world is a tough place. And that's why I'm trying to get a little bit of that in front of you so that you see it. So they say, well, God couldn't let it happen. Wrong. God lets a lot of stuff happen. Historically, you got a whole history of horrible things. And why is it horrible? Because people are horrible. The flesh is horrible. Evil is horrible. And the word evil you have, thou shalt not eat the tree of the knowledge, Genesis 2:17. The tree of the knowledge of what? good and evil. There's your word. What did Genesis 3:5? What was the devil's imp to get them to sin, to get them to do it? You can be as God, knowing good and what? Evil. Same word. See? What did you do in Genesis 6? They did wickedness, evil. Evil. After the Genesis flood. And they did evil in their imagination. God said there's no sense in flooding anything because people are evil. They're evil. They need to get saved. Now, so here, I got to do it quickly. Oh, Job, if you would. And in Job chapter 23, I'm going to read a little bit. You know, Job is wrestling what? He's wrestling out why he has all of these problems, and he got the people telling him, you don't have, if you fix this, if you fix that, if you fix this, if you fix that. And that wasn't the issue at all, but that's what they did, and they sort of were miserable, it says it, they're miserable counselors. They don't know what they're talking about. God was dealing with Job. That was his man now. And in the process, God had a wonderful plan. Has a wonderful plan for you. God shall teach you, Psalm 25, according to the fear of the... God will teach you in your heart as you fear him. He's going to teach each one as he will. Everyone's different. You can't do the same thing for everyone. Everyone can face the same problem in a given time, but how it all works, that's God's wonderful working. So now, here's Job. Job, behold, verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, backward, but I cannot receive. In other words, God, I'm trying to get a handle on this, and I can't get a... Where are you? To get me help, help me. On the left hand, where he doth work, that I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God, you know what you're doing. I just don't know it. I don't understand it. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. God, I am not leaving the track. I'm not backing out. I'm committed to the course, no matter the cost. I'm committed. Are you looking for that? God's looking for that. Wow. Now, and therefore, verse 12, neither have I gone back from that commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. God, I honor your word. I love your word. I'm going to exercise your word. I'm going to obey you. But he is of one mind. Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. God, you do whatever you please. That's what the potter was about. What's the potter about? The potter does whatever he wants with the clay. It's his clay. He can do whatever he wants with it. He can do whatever he wants with the whole universe. It's up to him. Wow. Now, and Job, you know that. That's right. Verse 14, for he performeth the thing that's appointed for me, and many such things are with him. God, you're doing what you have a wonderful plan for my life. I just need to understand it and stick with it until I get it. Therefore, verse 15, therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. God, what's the next thing? Here I am, covered from head to toe with a plague. Here I lost my family, my money, and my health, and everything else, as it were. Now, I'm afraid. Verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Do you see the word soft? That's the word tender. God, what were you looking for? Reason you took Josiah and you honored. He didn't have a hard heart. Israel's heart is so hard. The clay cannot, it's so hard. All you can do is throw it away. It's not lost its softness to remold it and make it again. You can't make it again. Too hard. Too hard. Broken. Throw it away. It's no good. And that's the clay. Now, having said that, here's the word soft. Jeremiah's heart was tender, soft. Clay, using clay, you can mold it still. You can ration it. And he did. And Josiah's fixed things in high places and tried to do a lot of things with the valley of Topheth and all of that. Now, therefore, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the dark. God, you didn't spare me the headache, the heartache, the problem, the pain, the trouble. You didn't take it away. You let me go through it. Thank you. Not then. You're going to say it afterwards. Hebrews 12. The chastening of the Lord, oh, afterwards yields the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness. It pays off. But you gotta go through it. You gotta hang in there. And therefore, because I was not cut off, verse 17, before the darkness, see that he covered the darkness from my face. I lived all through this. And God, you did a wonderful thing for me. I was trying to see in the dark. You let everything get dark. And I couldn't see how it was going to go. I don't know how's next week going to go. How's this thing going to go in my work, my home, my job, my health, my mouth, school, everything. How's it going to go? I can't see. God sees. And therefore, and you hang in there, that's how you get through the dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I got to go through it. That's how I do. Don't go around it. Go through it. And now, so here, over in chapter 42, you have a verse among many wonderful things, but just note verse 5. 42:5, Job says, having got the lesson, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know, I knew I could say things and read things, but all of a sudden I got it in my, I understand it. God, I see you. I understand. Wow. And I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What did you ask him in chapter 18 of Jeremiah? I want you to repent and look to me. And if you don't do that, then I'm going to let everything happen that is going to happen. You say it isn't. No, if you do that, you got to live in a body. You got all kinds of things. You want to make it? Then you're going to look to me. If you don't want to leave me out, then you're going to reap whatever. That's the way it is. Your will for my life? Then I'll help you with it. I have a wonderful plan. You can't go. There's no one going to come in and shoot you till I'm ready. If you want my plan, if you don't want my plan, do whatever. But when I want what I want and do what I do it with a great rhyme and reason. Now, therefore, I have heard of thee now, applying that if I can. You know in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the what? The mighty what? Hand of God. Jeremiah put himself under the hand and said, God, he humbled himself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And now, adding to that, now what did the publican and the Pharisee remember that in Luke 18? And the publican was smart enough to say, God, be merciful to me, a what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee didn't say that. He knew enough. He knew enough. And remember, merciful means mercy seat. God, be a mercy seat to me. Now, having said that little bit and thinking that, keeping that in mind, and go with me, please, in closing, over, if you would, to Hebrews. And chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. And you will note, a statement a prayer. Let us therefore, verse 16, let us therefore, in the light of a wonderful Savior giving us a wonderful access, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain, that is the word receive, to take into one's hand. God, you're going to hand out, we're going to put our hand out, and what are you going to put in it? Mercy. Mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, what are you going to put in my, what do I need? mercy, and find grace, to discover the grace of God, which is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because of the grace of God, we're able to do that. So now, God, here we are looking to you, and we're looking to you, and we're understandable. We got it. Soft. God, I don't want to be hard. I hate being hard. A lot of people don't mind it, but you don't want to. You want to be soft. Hardness won't protect you. Softness does. Softness. Do you understand that? That's what protects you. God. Soft. And when the clay is soft, it's in God's hand. And no one's messing with it. No one. The devil can't do it. All the demons in the world can't do it. All the bugs, disease, can't do it. Can't do it. Nope. Nope. Not so. Now, so God, we're coming to you to find, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we're going to do. God, we're going to walk in the light as thou art in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ is going to what? Cleanse us from all sin. And what are we going to, why are we saying that? Why do we do that? Because we're very conscious of what? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and we make him a liar. So we're very conscious. We aren't pulling off anything else. Hold it. You have no credentials. No one has any credentials. God has them in Christ for you and me to look to him. That's our credentials. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So what is the prayer? A prayer. God, what do we need? All the things in the world. How are we going to stop everything? Help everybody. Help so-and-so with cancer. Well, all that's understandable. And all those different things. And the people that lose loved ones and hurricanes and wars and North Korea and a zillion other things. God, we're just us. So we're going to look to you. What do we need? We need to exhibit your wonderful grace and mercy by receiving, looking, being walking in the light as thou art in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Wow. God, a piece of clay by the Creator. That's right. Clay, the Creator. And what are we doing? Well, we're looking to you, God. And God, we want to stay soft. And God does things to us. God did it to Jeremiah to keep him soft. God did it to the Apostle Paul to keep him soft. Think of all the terrible things Paul went through. What is such a great man? He went through them. He lived them. He trusted God. That's what you would do. That's how you learn. And so God, we want to be a piece of clay, soft in your hand. I don't want to get hard. I already got the message, God. I'm in your presence. I already got it. I don't want to get hard. Save me.